Good morning. The Bible reading this morning is from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. You'll find that on page 1049. It's John chapter 1, beginning from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
If you've not met me before, my name's Stu. I'm one of the pastors here at Southern Cross. My domain is normally over there in E Block with the kids, but it's with you tonight, today, this morning. before we have a look at John chapter 1, we should pray. So let's do that now. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you might grant us soft hearts as we hear the challenges of your word, so that you might be at work in us to bring great change. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Free. Whenever we see that word, we know what it really means. It means you can have this, but over the coming weeks, we'll be asking you to pay it back. So now that we know what free really means, when we see the subject line of an email saying free, or if we see a text message saying free, we know what to do. We delete it, because we've learnt the secret. Free doesn't really mean what you thought it did. Free actually isn't something that's one way, unconditional, no strings attached. We know the bigger the free is, the smaller the fine print. We've learnt free is never one way. Free is always two ways. We'll do that if you do that. But today in God's word, we're told God's love is one way. Aha! We won't be caught out this time. Remember, we know the secret. We know when it says free, if something says it's one way, remember the fine print. You see, our world operates on two-way kind of love. We're taught it from when we're kids. And so that's exactly why we're doing this series on what love is. So if you haven't been with us, we've been on a journey on getting love right. We saw what the goal of God's love for us was. That was to see us reflect the Son's love. We tried to get the order of love right, loving God first and then others. And finally, last week, getting our love focused right, loving God first, his household, his church, and his world. So now that we've laid that foundation of the goal and the order and the focus of love, we need some help on knowing what love actually looks like. And you might go, it's not rocket science, but maybe it's harder than we expect. You see, because when we hear of God's one-way love, we think we know the secret. We go, ha, you're not going to trip me up, God. One way, impossible. We know when something is free, there's no such thing. Even love is two-way. Even love has fine print. You see, most of us today that might see ourselves as Christians would say, well, we understand and believe Jesus' love to us is one way. at least in theory. We might want to downscale that love a little bit, for example, because we don't see that our lovelessness was really that great without Jesus. We might concede, yeah, we know Jesus died for love, but my debt really wasn't that bad. But if we get one-way love in theory, do we see that played out in practice? Do you ever have the urge or feel like you need to operate in two-way thinking as we reflect on our salvation by Jesus? You see, do you ever feel the urge to pray or read the Bible or perform some action just so you can prove to God you're willing to put in? It's kind of like an insurance policy. You know, just in case, just my little safety blanket, just in case I need to help him to get across the line for salvation. Well, how about this? Are you ever so struck and moved by God's incredible one-way love that you've begun to see glimpses of that in your life too, or the lives of those around you? A love that is free of qualifiers. A love that doesn't expect anything in return. A love that is unconditional. A love that is undeserved. A love that has no strings attached. I must confess, if you're anything like me, I find it very hard to come up with examples of one-way love. Well, God's word promises us some challenges this morning. We're going to zoom in on Jesus' love, and then we're going to compare it to his love in the prayer that his love might become like ours, that our love would have no fine print. Well, a couple of years ago in London, a newspaper put one-way love to the test. They set someone up outside the busiest train station in the city, people offering a flyer with the promise of free money, and hundreds, thousands walked straight past. Some took it and just put it straight in the bin. Over 3 hours, 11 people received the equivalent of a free $10 note. See, that was because hundreds, no, thousands and thousands of people all thought they knew what free meant. They thought free meant a two-way transaction. You offer me something, I do something in return. But here, there was something that was truly free, unconditional, no strings attached, totally undeserved. And in John chapter 1, we hear Jesus, who turns up offering free one-way love. And yet hundreds, no, thousands and thousands walk straight past. Have a look with me at John chapter 1, verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. How crazy was that? The God of this whole world turns up, everyone walks past him, doesn't batter an eyelid. You know, it's like those placards. You see them occasionally in some of the big sporting matches with probably one of the most famous Bible passages on it. Anyone want to hazard a guess? What do you see on those placards in the crowd? John 3:16, like this fella. But you see, this time the guy holding the sign is actually God himself. But still no one's taking notice. You see, this kind of thing silences our friend who said, look, I'd believe if God turned up in town, sure. That's exactly what he did. And no one believed. We might be tempted to think that, well, if Jesus wasn't so secretive about his identity, it might have been different. I mean, if he ditched the hat and the moustache and the glasses, people might have recognised him. And yet time and time again, as the Gospels continue, Jesus reveals his identity, his one-way love is offered, but they don't recognise it. But I'm afraid it is much, much scarier than that. Because Jesus turns up to his own people. Jesus turns up to his own flesh and blood. He turns up to the people of God, Israel, the ones who have God's word. The ones that had the voice of the prophets in their head from Ezekiel saying, God will come and rescue you. The ones that should love him. But have a look at verse 11. Have a look at their response. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Jesus turns up to the door of the Jews. He expects offers one-way love to them. And we expect a scene from My Big Fat Greek Wedding, don't we? As Jesus opens the door to the Jews, they give him a big hug and kisses all around, you know, like any good ethnic family should. What does Jesus do? He rocks up to the Jews, no kisses, no hugs, no come on in, bang, door slammed in his face. And you'd wish that was as bad as it got. But we know how the story goes. Because do you know the reception that Jesus got? As the Gospel of John continues, they twig about who Jesus is. In John chapter 8, the Jews figure out Jesus is claiming to be God. Do they throw a fanfare? No, they try to throw stones to kill him. Only that Jesus hides is his life spared. By John 18, the time has come. Jesus is ready to offer his life. He's ready to show one-way love. Jesus is ready to go to the cross. This is John's account from chapter 18. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there. So they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. You see, here Jesus knew his time was complete. The job had been done. The voice of the prophets had been fulfilled. One-way love had come. It was complete. Jesus' radical one-way love had seen him give up his life for our lovelessness. You see, his own people did not even recognize him. They did not receive him. They tried to kill him. The world that he had made did not recognize him. But now it was finished. Jesus had offered one-way love, and he had come through the goods with John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." It is finished. God had loved the world. In one-way love, he gave his Son. So can I ask you, how have you responded to that free offer of one-way love? I know lots of us might be able to recite John 3:16, but I think there must be a massive temptation for us. That just like with all free things, we just want to delete, or at best, not let it play itself out in our life, because we just can't shake that feeling. There's got to be some catch to this. Thankfully, in John 1, we hear not only about this one-way love of Jesus, but he goes on to show how we're supposed to receive it. In a drive-thru in the US comes the story of a customer who decided to show a bit of one-way love by buying a coffee for the car behind them. But it took an 8 further cars before anyone received it. Everyone just wanted to keep on passing the favour before the 8th person received it. I don't know, maybe it's the Americans with a stronger tipping culture, the thought that they just need to keep doing this thing to keep paying the coffee for the person behind you. Maybe in Macca's here in Lismore on Brewster Street, the first car behind would just go, "Woohoo, free coffee." And yet I wonder whether there was something that they were just so shocked, flabbergasted, to find this one-way love, they couldn't handle it. They didn't know what to do with it. They're just like, "Oh, well, just give it to the person behind me." I mean, it might have been they didn't want to be seen to be a bit of a scab or a freeloader. But you see, the first person who did that, they wouldn't have thought that. It was simply a gift. And that is what John says, that the response we need to have to God's one-way love is simply to receive it. Have a look from verse 12. "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." You see, Jesus expects us to respond to his one-way love by receiving it. You know, we can't get rid of that uneasy feeling, this one-way love, because we've taught nothing is free. Everything is two-way. So we have such a strong urge to try to pay God back. "Hey, Jesus, thanks for that. No worries, mate. I'll get the next round." So in some ways we say we've received his one-way love, but then we're the ones who add the fine print. We say, "Yes, we receive it, but I'll make sure I read my Bible. Yes, thank you, Jesus, but don't worry. I'll try to make it to church most weeks. One-way love. But, Jesus, are you sure you meant one way? Don't you mean two-way? You see, we've rarely, if ever, experienced one-way love, even in our closest relationships. So when Jesus extends it to us, we just don't know what to do. We can feel like freeloaders, that we're taking advantage of him. We get this feeling in us and it makes us uncomfortable and we push ourselves, we pull ourselves up by the bootlaces and we go into payback mode, try to make ourselves better, feel better about ourselves. But you know, probably the hardest thing for us to come to terms with when it comes to one-way love is we can't actually pay God back. I mean, you can pay for the coffee for the car behind you, even if it is a bit of a rort. But after receiving God's one-way love and feeling that urge to want to somehow contribute to our salvation, how much are we thinking? You see, I reckon if we can, the only way we can think this way is if we think the original issue wasn't that bad. We know there's some sort of infringement, but I'll try to rustle up some cash, and I mean, if things, worse things come to worse, I'll do some community service. But while ever we think like that, we will never get it. We will never get one-way love. We've got to see our lovelessness wasn't the result of just a few careless things. It was the result of a careless lifestyle, because we didn't care at all about our loving God. We failed to take heed to his exhortations, his warnings, his offer for intimacy. Instead, we swapped love for God for love for ourselves. Love for money, love for created things, love for pleasure, love for comfort, love for experience. And so if not for God's one-way love toward us, we would be out of love from the loving God. Have a listen to the hymn writer describe the way we should respond to Jesus' one-way love. Lord, we come to you a blessed and broken people, holding nothing in our hands but sin and shame, knowing keenly all the conflicts of a prideful heart that loves its fame but hates your name. So we come to you without single credit, clinging only to the precious cross of Christ, where the Lion on the throne, who is the Lamb of God, gave up his life in sacrifice. This is the way we receive it. As broken people, contributing nothing to this one-way love except our sin and our shame. And so we simply cling. We receive this one-way love by grabbing onto that precious cross. You see, Jesus offers us here something for free. One-way love. No fine print. And no matter how much we might feel the urge to pay it back, we can't. Nothing but the one-way love of God could cover the shame of our lovelessness. We simply receive it with empty hands. And yet this series is love like Jesus. So how are we to replicate that kind of love in our lives? I find it hard enough to receive one-way love, let alone give it. I mean, even in my closest relationships, my love may seem like it's free, but there's always fine print, isn't there? Oh, look, darling, you should totally go out with the girls. Oh, but don't forget on the weekend I've got that thing with the boys. Even when it's coffee, we say, oh, it's my shout, which just means it's yours next time. How cool is this? We say, my shout, don't worry, it's on me. We say, it's free. The fine print is, you get it next time. And something we can even get frustrated with is when this love is shown toward us. When a friend insists, no, we should take look after the kids. You guys should go out for a night. We can resent it because we go, oh, great, when are we going to have to, we're going to have to look after their kids and stuff. I can't even, when are we even going to do it? Yet what if we change the currency? What if we change the currency here at Southern Cross Presbyterian Church? What if we could love with Christ's one-way love? So that we didn't read into people's offers. We could actually receive that meal. We could actually offer, we could receive that offer of childcare. We could receive that free coffee and know for certain there's no fine print. Simply love. One-way love. But maybe, to be honest, you're not too worried about that conundrum because you've never really experienced one-way love, even from those you love the most. And you don't expect it's going to change real soon. But Jesus disagrees. He says, the one who has been forgiven much loves much, and the one who has been forgiven little loves little. So as you're washing up those stubborn stains from the roast dinner that you also cooked, and your heart grows proud and then bitter because you had to cook and clean, your love is stifled. And yet if you cooked and then cleaned, but you reflected on Jesus saving you, the fact that his blood has dealt with your stubborn sin, your love is stimulated. And so this is a forgiven community, and it begins to love much. And yet even that doesn't guarantee a community of one-way love, because you not only need people who practice one-way love, you need people humble enough to receive it. One of our gospel community leaders described it well when they said, living in community means to receive help. It requires people who don't hide their problems, people who are willing to share their needs, people who are vulnerable, people who can't play the saviour, people who are willing to never have a boast. You see, sometimes receiving one-way love is just as hard as giving it. So may we reflect deeply on Jesus' one-way love to us, growing in our understanding of the scale of our forgiveness, and so growing in our love and our ability to receive that love. May this one-way love flow freely toward the family of believers, as we heard last week. Firstly, to households, to our gospel communities and small groups, and to the wider church family. But this sort of love in community grows. As that grows, it fuels our mission. When Susan and I arrived in Sydney for our years at Bible College, we were keen to meet the neighbours who lived in our block. This proved to be more difficult than we first thought. It was nearly impossible to get people to come to their doors, and even if they did, ever so slightly. So we wanted to do something with them. We cooked some muffins that we cooked, Susan cooked, but we couldn't even get a response from some of the units. There was such scepticism. Great confusion about why have we got these muffins for. You see, so battered by constant offers of things being free with all the fine print in city life, people were so closed. And yet one door opened, ever so slowly, only to give a gruff decline to our muffins because he didn't want to buy them. I pretty much had to stick my foot in the door to say, you don't have to pay, it's free. And a voice behind the closed door says, free. I said, yeah, free, we made them for you. Whoa! Door nearly swung off its hinges by this simple display of one-way love. It was excitingly received. We're taken inside. Ah, this is my children and here's my brother. And a party had happened, a celebration because of one-way love. But you know, a few muffins, as good as Susan's are, is hardly going to convince our neighbours of the reality of God's one-way love, is it? You see, to our shame, that was the only interaction we have with that family over 2 years. To be honest, we weren't really interested in genuine friendship. All we wanted was just a wave while putting out the bin from our side. And what we'd do from our side, we'd invite them to Christmas carols. But since our return to Lismore and having heard the challenge of mission through community, we've desired to develop much richer relationships with our neighbours. And we've made some progress. And yet with that, we've been overtaken by it from a family in our gospel community who have forged a stronger bond with that neighbour and a love greater that would lead them to give up large amounts of time to show practical demonstrations of love. They help this single mum with kids to get their home ready for a rental inspection, knowing that even if this mum wanted to reciprocate, that by virtue of being a single mum, it was impossible. You see, here was one-way love. One-way love is so hard to receive. It is so hard to give. But may God be at work in our church family to help us to love like Jesus as we reflect on his love for us. Let's talk to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for your one-way love, a love that had to come from you because it had to overcome our lovelessness. Father, we are sorry for our inability to mirror your love, resorting simply to two-way love, or at best loved heaped with conditions. Please help us to meditate on your love to us in Christ Jesus, that as we ponder the depth of that forgiveness we have received, it would deepen our love. And we ask it in Jesus' name.